Jay, here on The Rush, we are joined on the roundtable by political commentator Scott Reed. Amanda Galbraith, principal at Navigator, used to work for our mayor.
Hello.
Nice to have you. Bill Hayes, broadcaster, commentator.
How you doing?
Good. Very well, thank you. Let's start off, because we've got a lot of stuff to get to, talking about something that's being kicked around by a Senate committee. The idea that someone 18 years of age or older who gives marijuana to someone less than 2 years younger, so a 19-year-old giving it to a 17-year-old, that would be A-okay. Also, under the A-OK heading, would be a parent or guardian who gives it to someone who is at least 16, but only in their own home. One of the senators involved compares it to, well, sampling a glass of wine with your kid. It would be the same thing if you did it with a joint. Scott, we'll start with you. Do you see that as the same thing?
That felt like an accusation.
We're social sharing as we speak.
Yeah. Would you have a problem with this? Would this be something you would partake in the home?
Okay, those are two very different questions, I will come at it that way. One, I don't have a problem with it. I guess ultimately it's a sensible thing. I mean, you don't want people being arrested for a 19-year-old sharing with a 17-year-old or a parent sharing with a kid. But I am a parent, and I have a 15-year-old, and I would not ever contemplate doing this.
Amanda, same thing as a glass of wine, or is it a little bit different?
I think it is. If it's not yet, I think it will be the same thing as a glass of wine in the next 5 to 10 years. I really do think so. And I say this as someone who's, I believe my parents partook when I was younger. If my dad's listening, I'm outing him again this week. But they did not. He was very strict with me when I was younger about that kind of thing. But with alcohol, it was a bit more of a, they weren't permissive, but, talk to us about it and whatever. So I do think as this is legalized and it becomes more normative that people will start to. And I think that makes sense, right? You see it in Europe. There's a much more mature attitude towards alcohol in Europe than there is here in North America. And I think we should probably strive for more of that.
Bill Hayes, teachable moment here.
I kind of agree with both Amanda and Scott. I wouldn't do it. I would amend the quote from the senator. It's not like a glass of wine you're sharing. It's more like a bottle or two, because the effect is quite a bit different. Mm-hmm. But, having said that, it is an individual choice. As I said, I wouldn't do it, but I don't really have a problem.
You and I have both had that discussion about the way our parents sort of looked at it. I know you've talked about how your dad said, I just would not touch it until you were like 18 years old. And then he was up to his own decision. It was around my house all the time. I grew up like in a band house, so I saw it my entire life. But my dad was kind of like yours. It was very much a, you're going to live your life and I'm going to live my life until you're 18, and then we can have that conversation again. And for me, weed became a bit of a taboo because of that. So I think the allure was even more. But I also remember the booze being there as well. So I do kind of wonder if my parents had have sat me down and talked about it and introduced it into the household, if I maybe would have looked at it differently, maybe saved a few binge drinking episodes.
Well, I think that's a really important point, by the way. I think one of the things that does happen almost to everybody when they leave the home, go to university, college, or whatever, or just to go out in the working world and live on their own, they do tend to do stuff like that anyway. So if you've got a head start that you've allowed them at least to see that there's some kind of responsibility with it, it's not probably a bad thing.
Hey, what's a band home? Is that, like, was your dad like in a band?
Is that what it means?
Yeah, in a band.
Hey,
sure.
Mr. Tambourine.
Yes.
Man.
Yeah, my dad's a drummer.
Oh, you can sing.
Yeah, it's cool.
Scott wants to live in Jay's former.
Right on.
it's pretty cool.
We're just finding out the details of this right now, but the newly released Progressive Conservative Platform, yes, there is one apparently, for the Ontario election includes a pledge to remove cell phones from classrooms. According to the platform, a PC government would ban the phones in all elementary and high schools in order to maximize learning time. Scott?
Okay. So, buck a beer, no phones in school, no crossing of the promises. All right, man, I get it. Dingly, dingly, shiny objects, distraction. I don't know. If conservatives think that people should be permitted choice, then they should be permitted choice. And don't be telling me whether or not I can send my kid to school with a phone, and don't be telling the teachers. Let the teachers manage that in the classroom, which is what my personal belief is. Not even the principals. Let the teachers manage it in the classroom. Because I've actually encountered teachers in my son's high school, and they say, we have a no policy. It's not done. And I like that, and others don't, and I figure it's their classroom, they should manage it.
Amanda, is this a winner here, or is it a bit of a shiny object and they're hoping that somebody will latch onto it?
I don't know if this individually is a winner. I suppose for some, not being a parent of kids, I suppose some parents probably like, yeah, this is a good thing. I think, generally people have been asking for a platform. They've put out a platform. I personally believe platforms increasingly are becoming a thing of the past because most voters don't actually, I don't know, like maybe four people will download this thing and read it. It's mostly just for media consumption. And actually, on the mayor's campaign that I was on last time, we didn't release a full platform. We had the website and you could go and list all the promises and everything was costed, which is kind of what the PCs were talking about. So I think they've delivered what they need to do to satisfy sort of the chattering classes. And I think they, except for Scott, obviously.
There's no class that's chattering that's going to be satisfied with a list of promises for 30 days and then a list of price tags that are not added up and reconciled. Come on. If you care about this stuff, then this was a joke.
Bill Hayes, let's bring it back to the PCs talking about no cell phones, classrooms, not even in high school.
How do you police this? Raid! Come on. It's a ridiculous notion.
Get your bags out.
Come on. Next thing you're going to say, how about the teachers have guns? Do we need that here?
I haven't gone that far in the platform.
No, maybe, but they might skip the
time. Page 17.
Yeah, that was a pretty big leaf. And I'm just trying to figure out who this is. I don't know if it's who you're trying to appeal to here, because it's really not. It's not hit me on either side as a parent or I think as a kid.
We've brought it up on the show, and I can tell you the audience is overwhelmingly against this idea.
Absolutely.
A lot of parents say,
really interesting.
I like to give my kid a phone. I like to know where they are.
Yeah,
it keeps me tapped in. You know, I think a lot would agree with you, Scott, that say, you know, it's about the choice of the school. It's up to the principal, the teacher, if they can cope with it, who are we to say otherwise? Let's talk about the other party in all of this, the NDP. They've drawn some ire from the business community by talking about 3 weeks paid vacation to start.
This is a change for the better. We hear too many stories that families are not having enough time to have a balanced life. And so with 3 weeks vacation after a year, families are going to be able to have more time to spend together. That's change for the better.
Now, Scott, I know the Liberals did talk a little bit about, 5 years, you get the automatic third week. Yeah. There's some concessions made for sick days and personal days and what have you. But if you were to pick one now in retrospect, this one seems like a real winner, the 3 weeks automatic paid vacation and selling it that way versus minimum wage, where people said, I'd rather have had this than any conversation about the minimum wage increase.
No way. I don't agree with that. Whatever the Liberals' troubles are right now, and as you know, I'm in the bag for Kathleen Wynne and all that, it ain't about minimum wage. Minimum wage is a winner. That thing is something that people feel strongly about and they want, and I'm sure they want this also. It's just a question of balance, right? Like after 1 year, is that going to be discouraging for employers, all that kind of stuff? In general, this is more where I am than where I am not. So I'm not uncomfortable with this policy, but I don't look at it as a binary thing with minimum wage.
Amanda?
I think, listen, a third week vacation after first year sounds great, but I think this is, again, an example of sort of the creep that would happen under an NDP government, which is just they'll start to slowly, incrementally change policies and change taxation, that kind of stuff to impact business because they want to, benefit the everyday public or kind of go in that direction. Yes, it sounds great, but what does that mean for employers? Does that mean you hire one less person? Like, there are real effects of this stuff. So I totally get, and I do think it's 2 weeks vacation doesn't seem like enough. That being said, after three, is it four? Is it five? Like, how is that really, where's the balance?
Well, Jay, we talked about it. You know, France, they're the leaders, it would seem, worldwide with 30 paid days off. The UK, that's 28 days. The Scandinavian countries seemingly all have it at about 25. We're way behind the pack.
Yeah, and what's interesting too, Bill, is that I think if you're outside of Canada and you're in any of these other countries looking in towards Canada and you had to guess how many vacation days we get as Canadians, I think you'd think we got a lot more than we actually do because we seem to be pretty chill, but I think we're actually working way too hard.
Well, I think of the 1 week between Christmas and New Year's, which rarely is given as a vacation week, but an awful lot of people don't work that week.
Yeah.
So, that's not necessarily across the board or anything like that, but it does seem fairly common. To me, this looks like just a promise that I think when they get into office, they might see it might take a little more, it might be a little more difficult to implement.
One of the other things that the Ontario NDP is getting some flack for is the promise to buy back Hydro One. A lot of experts are saying this is a knee-jerk reaction, and it would end up likely costing taxpayers a little bit more.
We're going to engage the experts to help us bring Hydro back into public hands, and we will immediately get started on that task. And again, nobody said it was going to be easy. We know it's going to take some time, but I am never going to give up on the people of Ontario, on the 80% of Ontarians who want our hydro system back in public hands.
Scott, for me, it's the horses left the barn. I don't think buying this back is going to be something that isn't going to come with great cost.
No. Well, of course. We know what the cost is. It's about $21.50 per share. So you do the math. You want to buy it all back, it's going to cost you billions. How much of that then lowers your hydro bill? Zero.
Ooh, it's so, like watching David Copperfield.
It was.
It was uncanny.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Like, this is actually, I think, one of those promises people should think long and hard about when they vote for the NDP, because this is a big deal for her union supporters. And the idea that we would buy back these shares after that for nothing, it's not going to give us a single cent towards transit or any of the other real needs in this province, just to say that it's in public hands again, I think is just insane and totally irresponsible.
Well, I pretty much agree with everybody as far as that goes. The only thing I will say is, if they're going to buy something back, how about the 407?
Oh, jeez.
Seriously, would that not take off a lot of heat on the roads around this city?
Yeah, but
you
again,
get the voters list.
There is that.
Couldn't help yourself, huh?
I'm not going to even try.
Roseanne Barr couldn't help herself. She blamed the sleep aid Ambien for a series of racist tweets that resulted in the cancellation of her very popular television program. She tweeted out that she did something unforgivable. So she said, "Do not defend me. It was 2 a.m. and I was Ambien tweeting." The makers of Ambien came out saying racism is not a side effect of our widely used drug. But Scott, do you cut her any slack in a situation like this? I mean, what she said was deplorable. She seems to have owned it. She apologized for it. And now she's saying, listen, I was on drugs. Even Mitch, let's play a little Mitch Shulman, can we? Dr. Mitch Shulman came out and said, yeah, people do some weird things on this stuff.
I understand how, under the influence of the Z drugs, Zolpidem and its ilk, or the Valium-like drugs, the benzodiazepams, Ativan and all that, or alcohol, or other things, I understand how, under the wrong circumstances, thoughts that are deeply held within that might never see the light of day, that not may not even be real thoughts, yeah, can come out.
Scott?
Come on.
Nothing?
Come on. Wait, this is an isolated incident. We've never seen erratic behavior from her before. We've never seen outrageous and offensive outbursts before. No. This is not a consequence of medication. This is a consequence of personality.
Amanda, she says she's cracked eggs against the wall at 2 a.m. and had no recollection till the next morning because of Ambien.
Well, maybe you should go to your doctor and get off the drugs, but I went through her Twitter feed last night, and I will say, she's been on Ambien for years, like consistently, or this is her personality, and frankly, good for ABC.
Yeah. Yeah, I think maybe it might be her middle name. Was she not throwing out Soros as one there, too?
Oh, boy.
But the fact is, it's indefensible, and Ambien had nothing to do with it.
Bill Hayes, Amanda Galbraith, Scott Reed, thank you all.
Thank you.